Well, God said to Paul in verse 9 these words, and he says these things to us all these years later. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. We need to time and time again remind ourselves that God's grace is sufficient. It truly is. And that His grace is sufficient for all of our circumstances. We are standing on the brink of a new year. And there are many things that we don't know are going to take place. There are some things that we probably know will happen, but there are a number of uncertainties that we have in our minds. Probable difficulties are coming our way. And it's at those times in particular that we need to either know for the first time or refresh ourselves that God's grace really is sufficient for every circumstance. I wonder if you've asked yourself the question, how am I ever going to get through this when it happens? How am I going to manage that? Well, it's at those times in particular that we are to remind ourselves that God's grace truly is sufficient. But perhaps we're not plunged into difficult circumstances. At the beginning of each day, we need to be reminded of this, don't we? That we're not reliant upon our own strength or our own self-perceived strength, but that God's grace really is sufficient for each of our circumstances every day. But if we are about to face a difficult circumstance or in the midst of a difficult circumstance, then we do need to know this, that God's grace really is sufficient for it. If we're any doubt about this, we need to realize what Paul is being caused to do by the Lord is being put forward as an extreme example to us. And the way of reasoning is this, that if God gave the Apostle Paul sufficient grace in all of his extreme trials and tribulations, then he can certainly give us sufficient grace in our lesser trials. I think a lot of the children have flu this evening, so I was going to tell them an illustration to illustrate this, that if they were driving in their family car, coming to a bridge that they've never been to before, and not sure actually if that bridge can hold the weight of their car, and then just as they're about to hit that bridge, a huge, really heavy lorry goes on ahead of them and easily crosses the bridge. Children, do you not think that you would be happy and relieved that lorry going on beyond the bridge, you would know that easily that bridge could hold your little car that your family is in? And it's a bit like that. This is our encouragement, that if God supplied the Apostle Paul everything that he needed in all of his extreme circumstances and heavy trials and tribulations, then God certainly can supply us with our lesser trials and tribulations, heavy though they may be. And so I want us to dwell on this precious truth this evening, especially as we stand on the brink of a new year with all its unknowns. I want it to be etched in our minds. We need to know this if we don't know it already. And we need to remember it when trial and tribulation comes, because there's a danger that either people don't know these important truths, that as we turn to 2 Corinthians 12, they've never been there before in their Bibles, or they forget them. How often we forget the things that we know when we most need them, and we're grappling around in our minds looking for comfort when it's there in God's Word. And so in order for us to really etch these precious truths onto our minds, let us first think about the context in which this promise was first given, Because remember, it was a context of extreme suffering that God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then let us also secondly think about that grace itself, which was promised, that it truly is sufficient grace. So we're going to look at 2 points this evening. First of all, grace and suffering. And then secondly, sufficient grace and suffering. So first of all, let us think about the context in which the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. The context in which the Lord said these things to Paul was one of immense suffering. Remember, Paul is suffering when God said that to him. And it's really important for us to remember that. Because if God had said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, in a time that was easy for Paul, we might not be so convinced about the sufficiency of God's grace. Do you understand what I'm saying there? If God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient to you, when everything was going well for Paul, or when he had just a few difficult things in his life, then we might not be convinced that God's grace is all that sufficient. But God said to Paul that his grace would be sufficient in a time of immense suffering for Paul. Because look at the kind of suffering that he had to endure. Look at verse 7. Paul said that there was this thorn in the flesh given to him, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Think about that, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. This was the suffering that Paul was immediately facing. Something that he could say without exaggeration that it was like a thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan. Now, we don't actually know what this thorn or messenger of Satan was, and there's been much speculation about it, and I'm not going to add to that speculation this evening. We don't know, for instance, if it was a physical trial that Paul went through, or it was an emotional trial, or some kind of psychological trial. The Bible doesn't tell us. All we know is that Paul calls it a thorn in the flesh. And by the way, that word for thorn can be used of a large wooden stake. But let's just say it was a thorn in the flesh, which is painful, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever had a thorn in your finger or your hand. At the very least, it's extremely irritating, isn't it? That thorn usually gets lodged in your skin. It's almost impossible to get out. And if you don't manage to get that thorn out, it continues to be an irritation. It usually becomes painful if you can't get it out. And the pain continues until you're able to prise it out with tweezers. And this is how Paul is first describing his suffering. It's metaphorical here. It was like a thorn in the flesh. What we can say at least was that it was something that was irritating. His trial was ongoing and it was painful. It was like having a thorn in the flesh. But you would have seen the other dimension to this. Paul called it a thorn in the flesh, first of all, but he elaborated on that, didn't he? He called it a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan. Paul understood that there was a spiritual dimension to this suffering. A messenger of Satan. And again, we cannot be absolutely certain what this messenger of Satan was, but to call it that, a messenger of Satan, something derived from Satan himself, gives us more than a clue. And he's building up a picture in our minds that the suffering that he was going through was immense. There's a spiritual dimension to it. And Paul said that this messenger of Satan, whatever it was sent to buffet him. Did you notice that? It was sent to buffet him, and perhaps we think about that expression, buffeting, and we think about a ship being buffeted in the strong winds. But the original here is stronger than that. It essentially means struck by a fist. Being punched, in other words. Don't know if you've been punched. I have. This is all metaphorical language here. But Paul is describing the type of suffering that he endured. He said it was like a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And so Paul is not receiving this comforting message from the Lord in the midst of a little bit of suffering. We are to understand that Paul was in the midst of intense, long-standing suffering, something that, without exaggeration, he could describe as having a thorn in the flesh and as being buffeted by this messenger of Satan. It is into that context of acute suffering that God says these words, "My grace is sufficient for you." And if you know anything about Paul's life, you'll know that actually these words were spoken not just into the immediate suffering that he was going in, but the wider context of his suffering. Because Paul was certainly not immune to suffering, was he? It wasn't as if this thorn in the flesh or the messenger of Satan was an isolated event that suddenly came upon him. No, Paul continually suffered for the sake of Christ, didn't he? If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just over the page, he lists the suffering that he experienced for Christ. Look at verse 24 of chapter 11. I'll not read the whole thing, but if you look at verses 24 to 29, he talks about receiving 40 stripes, 5 times from the Jews, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, and so on. Look at that later. Paul's suffering was immense. He could write in Galatians without exaggeration that he in his body bore the marks of Jesus. And it's into that wider context of immense suffering that God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's worth remembering that God said these things into Paul's immense suffering. And I want you to notice what God did not say to Paul. That's important also. The Lord did not say to Paul that he would take away this thorn, this messenger of Satan, did he? Even when Paul pleaded for it to be taken away, did you notice that? Paul pleaded for it to be taken away. That word plead can mean to beg. Paul begged for this messenger of Satan would be taken away. It wasn't a sinful thing to ask for it to be taken away. But the Lord said that he would not take it away. Even when Paul pleaded for it 3 times to be taken away, and you begin to enter into the kind of suffering that he was going through, to plead for it 3 times, "Please take it away." But God did not say that this thorn would be removed. God didn't even say that the suffering would be lessened, did he? Rather, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you. God didn't say, "I will take it away. I will improve your situation, but my grace is sufficient for you." The reason why God said that to Paul and to us in our lesser trials is because God's grace really is sufficient. God's grace really is sufficient for us in suffering, secondly. In every trial and temptation that we go through, his grace is sufficient. Now, point of clarification, when we are speaking about God's grace here, we're not referring to saving grace. Saving grace is the unmerited favor of God that rescues sinners and provides forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That's saving grace. But the kind of grace mentioned here is different. In verse 9, it is speaking of that supernatural grace which God supplies to his people to sustain them in their trials and to strengthen them in their trials. It is that strengthening grace which God supplies to his people by the Holy Spirit. And that strengthening grace from God truly is sufficient for all circumstances. It is enough. That word sufficient means enough. It is enough. Nothing more is needed. The grace given by God will not lack when his people need it. It is enough. It is sufficient. And this seems to be emphasized in the original text. The sentence is worded this way. It says, "Sufficient is my grace." It's almost as if the Lord is emphasizing that. He is putting it at the front of the sentence that really my grace is sufficient for all circumstances. That even in the midst of trial, God's grace is sufficient. Notice that God does not say that his grace was sufficient or will be sufficient. God says that his grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. In other words, it is currently sufficient for your current trial. Now, of course, when people look back at the trials that they've come through, they, of course, will say that his grace was sufficient. And if they have the eye of faith, they will say that God's grace will be sufficient. But God is saying there that his grace is sufficient. It is sufficient for the current suffering that his people are enduring. And it is sufficient because of this. It is God's grace. Look at what the Lord says. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. It is God's grace. God supplies his grace. It is not through our own strength that we are able to endure trials and tribulations, but it is through the strength which God himself supplies. And that is why it is sufficient. Think about God's store of grace. It cannot be exhausted. Out of the infinite resources of God's treasury, God supplies his grace. I'm not talking about saving grace. The grace that comes to sustain and strengthen his people. And this sustaining and strengthening grace is mentioned in other parts of the Bible. Remember when we were going through the book of Zechariah, that God told his people that they would prosper. Why? Because of his sufficient grace. Zechariah chapter 4. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Or remember, as we went through the letter of Philippians, Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or think about when Paul wrote of the same sustaining and strengthening grace earlier in this letter in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. He says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may always have all sufficiency in all things. You see, there are a number of places in Scripture that refer to this sustaining and strengthening grace which God supplies to his people. Now, a question perhaps remains in your mind. And it's this. How is it that we actually receive this sustaining and strengthening grace? How is it that God gives his people this grace? Well, I have to say, in a sense, we have to say that the Lord simply provides it for his people. In a very real sense, it is all of God. But I want to say this, that there is at least one passage in the Bible which teaches us to pray for this grace. And it's a bit like other parts of our Christian life. It's all of God, yes, but we have a responsibility. The promises of God are laid out for us in Scripture, but we are to pray the promises of God. You know what I mean by that? It's all of God, and yet He requires us to do something, and we are required to pray for this. To pray that God would give grace to help us in our trials and tribulations. In Hebrews chapter 4, Christians are encouraged to pray to God for grace. Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are to pray that God would supply grace to us in our time of need. This is how we receive this grace of God. We pray for it. We approach the throne of grace and pray that God would grant us grace to help us in our time of need. And you know, God will give us this grace in abundance. We sing this song on occasion, don't we? That He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials His multiplied peace. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of the infinite riches in Jesus He giveth. And giveth and giveth again. I'll just read a few more lines. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. It goes on to say, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man, for out of the infinite riches of Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. So as I finish, let this be your comfort as you go into the next day, but also into the new year, that have these words ringing in your minds, the words of God, my grace is sufficient. Whatever trials you're experiencing or will face, this is our comfort. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's because it's God's grace. It's my grace. And it truly is sufficient. It was sufficient for the Apostle Paul in his extreme circumstances, and it will be sufficient for you in your lesser circumstances, heavy though they may be. So let us not forget this and pray for it. Pray for God's grace. Remember this, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen.